So I want to preach tonight the book of Luke chapter 16, if you'll turn with us. Read to you one verse of scripture, verse 25. Bible said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Notice in this scripture, this text tonight, it said, but Abraham said, son, remember. Then I want to look over in Revelations chapter 21 and verse number 4 tonight. Revelations 21 and 4, and the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. For the former things are passed away. I want to preach to us a little bit tonight, and I don't know how you title this. We'll just maybe come up with one. But what I want to preach about, what's on my heart, Sister Margaret, is you will either remember now and repent, or you will remember through all eternity. You will either remember now and settle it with God and get it under the blood now, or either for all eternity you're going to remember. When I look in Revelations and I think about going to heaven, and I think about when we leave this walk of life, and if you're a Christian and you go to be with him for all eternity, that one of the most comforting things about heaven is all the former things will be passed away. There will not be any remembrance in heaven of anything that would bring grief or sorrow in any form to your heart. I mean, you might have some terrible remembrances down here of death or pain or problems or situations that you've been through, and maybe sometimes you try to shake your head and forget. I mean, Sister Lois testified tonight with tears in her eyes, remembering a companion that she was with for all those years, and that love that she had. Can you imagine if someone were to go to heaven and all they could do is remember the hard times and the bad, difficult places? There wouldn't be any comfort there, would there? There wouldn't be anything to a time to get away from those things. But one of the great things about heaven is when we go there, that we will forget all those former things. Amen. You will forget those hard trials. You will forget those difficult places. They will be passed away. But you see, if you die lost, then you are just beginning to remember. For in our text in Luke chapter 16, you're familiar with a story about how the rich man and Lazarus is in the story. That rich man fared sumptuously every day. He lacked for nothing. He had fine linen, and he had everything that he desired was there within his reach. But then the Bible tells us about that beggar. That beggar was a poor man. That beggar had some bad memories. I mean, the Bible said he was covered in sores, and the dogs came and licked his sores. That was the things he remembered. I mean, when you'd come up to him and begin to talk to him, maybe him laying there in a terrible shape, and you'd begin to ask him, what do you remember? Maybe he'd begin to tell you about remembering a terrible accident that maybe caused him to be crippled or maimed. Maybe he would remember heartaches and problems. Maybe he would remember that time that the dogs came to lick his sores and got carried away and begin to bite and devour and begin to eat away at his body. Maybe he could remember some hard places and hard times. But you see, there come a day where both men was appointed unto death. That first man, that rich man, I mean, he could remember the parties. He could remember that fine garment hanging in the closet that he paid so much money for. He could remember all those things that was fine and nice But there come a time that death came knocking on both of their lives. And the Bible said that that man, it was a beggar, Lazarus, amen, that he died. And that angels came and that they picked him up and they carried him to a place of comfort. They carried him to the bosom of Abraham. They carried him to a place of rest. Amen, a place, amen, where the sores was forgotten. A place, amen, where the pain was done away with. A place where it was all behind him. But that was the end of that story. For the Bible also says that the rich man died. I mean, the poor man probably didn't have a funeral. Amen. They probably took his body out and just dumped it somewhere in a shallow grave. Amen. They just disposed of it somehow. Amen, but oh, the rich man died. I mean, it was probably quite a big event. They probably brought in dignitaries and they brought in the family. They hired mourners to come in dressed in black. Amen. They probably had a long procession of people as they walked down to that graveyard and buried him in the nicest place available. He was rich. He was increased in goods. He had a lot of money. And so they made a big ado over his funeral. But you see, it isn't how a big your funeral is. And even what the preacher says over you after you die. I preached a sermon years ago on funerals you'd hate to preach. And I preached about Samson. Amen. Even though he in his death slew more than he did in all the days of his life. Amen. All those vows he broke. All those commitments he broke. It'd be a tough job to stand over. Amen, his body. Amen, what about men like Solomon? I mean, that done such great things. Erected that temple. Amen. Done great things for the Lord. Was the wisest man other than Christ that ever lived. But yet it said that his heart was not perfect as his father David when he died. I mean, that'd be a tough funeral to preach. I want to tell you, it really don't matter what they say over your body. It really doesn't matter if they preach you into heaven and talk about what good deeds you've done and what a great person you are. The truth is, you know tonight in your heart, if you were to die right now, whether you'd go to heaven or hell, the truth is right this second, you know if your heart beat its last time, amen, whether you would wake up and never remember another pain, and never remember another heartache. Our brother preached so good in the youth service, amen, Brother Scanton, I believe it is, amen, that right, Close Layton, Scranton something, amen, I mean, he got to talking and telling us about his testimony and the heartache and the memories about how he was in jail, about how that he had an automobile accident and somebody that was with him perished in the accident, about other things in his life. He got to telling us about it. But do you know, brother, there'll be a day if you'll be faithful to the Lord that you'll close your eyes on this old sinful world and you'll open them up on another, on the other side of eternity. And right when they open, amen, all those former things, that jail cell will never enter your mind again. Those 6 years that you spent in the penitentiary, they'll never come back to your mind. Amen, I'm telling you, you might have some bad memories. You might look back at some things you've done, and you can't hardly get away from them. And they torment you day and night. You say, I'm saved. But I've got memories that's haunting me. I'm telling you, one day you're going to close your eyes. And if you're a Christian, when you open them in eternity, for to be absent from the body, amen, is to be present with the Lord. When you open them up, amen, you'll never remember the heartache again. Amen. But the rich man then died. No matter what they said about him, no matter where they put him and how they preached it, when he lifted up his eyes, the Bible said he was in hell. Amen. Amen. He was in hell. Do you realize that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven? Do you realize when you leave this walk of life, amen, that you will either go to heaven or you will go to hell? There is no purgatory. There is no in-between state. Amen. God doesn't honor good works. God doesn't honor your heritage. But I tell you, if you have not repented, if you have not confessed your sins and believed in your heart, and you die, you're going to go to hell for all eternity. But you don't have to. You don't have to die lost. Amen. He lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Not just one, but torments. Amen. Oh, we read about that place called hell. You know hell, when it was first created, according to Matthew, amen, it was created for the devil and his angels. It was not originally created for you. Amen. In fact, if you go, you will be an intruder. For hell hath enlarged itself. It was built to accommodate Satan. It was built to accommodate those angels. Amen. And demons that fell with him during the time that they were cast down to earth. And the cry went out, woe be unto the inhabitants of earth. For the devil is cast down. Amen. I want to tell you, hell was built for him. But yet, amen, then God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. A place within every one of us, amen, a soul. And the ability to choose between serving Jesus and not serving him. Place give us the opportunity to make a decision whether we love him and we'll serve him and follow him and live for him, or whether we want to live for the devil and serve the devil. You say, well, I don't serve the devil. The Bible said you are a servant unto whom you yield your members. If you yield them unto godliness, you're a servant of God. If you yield them unto worldliness, you're a servant of the devil. He tells you where to go. He tells you what to do. He tells you how to live. He tells you, and you obey because you're his servant. You say, I don't believe it. Oh yeah, well I'm going to give an altar call in a little bit. And if you're really not his servant, when he tells you don't go to that altar, prove you're not his servant. Get up and come down and say, devil, I ain't listening to you. You can't tell me to stay here. You can't tell me not to pray. Show him that he's not your master. Amen. But when hell was created, it was made in such a way, since it was created for the devil and his angels, that it was to be the exact opposite of everything that heaven is. Amen. The Bible said in heaven that there'll be no night. Amen. Never be any darkness or no night. But yet we read about hell, and it is a place of gross darkness. We read about in heaven, it said there'll be no pain in heaven. Amen. That's right, I read that to you. No more pain. But yet in hell, there is never ending suffering. Never a moment without suffering. Never a moment without pain. Never a time where you're just a little easier. A 1,000 years from now, you're still burning, and you're still suffering. 10,000 years from now, you're still burning, and you're still suffering. 1,000,000 years from now, you're still burning in the everlasting flames of hell. I want to tell you, hell wasn't made for you. But if you go there, if you reject Christ, amen, you're going to remember. Heaven is a place where there is no crying, for God himself will take a handkerchief and wipe away all tears, every tear from your eyes. I tell you, if you die and you're a Christian, you shed your last tear. Amen. But in hell, it'll be a place of wailing and
gnashing of teeth. In heaven, it's a place, amen, of being united with loved ones, of seeing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, of seeing my dad who preached holiness, amen, and died in the faith, of seeing Brother Will Guthrie, of seeing those that's gone on in your life. I mean, it's going to be a place of reunion.
But in hell, it's a place of separation. Somebody said, if I could just see so-and-so in hell, it'd be worth it. I had somebody tell me that one time. I told them, I said, do you know you're going to hell? They were so bitter. It was a pastor's wife. So bitter. And I said, do you realize you're going to hell? And she said, I know I am. She said, but if I can just see those that have done me wrong in hell, it'll be worth it. Amen. I pled with her with tears. I cried with her. Amen. I said, what would it take for you to get saved and get this behind you and get this bitterness out of your heart and pray through? She said, if everybody that's ever done me wrong would come and kneel at my feet and tell me they're sorry, I'd repent. I said, you'll die and go to hell before it ever happens. Amen. This ain't between you and that man that done you wrong. This ain't between you and the hypocrite. This ain't between you and the hireling. It's between you and God. And when you get to eternity, he's not going to want to hear about the false preacher and about the hypocrite. But he's going to go want to know about your soul.
I mean, if it bring you any pleasure in hell to see somebody, you'll never see them. For it will be a separation. Amen. In heaven. Amen. And I read to you, the former things will be passed away. But in hell, there will be a memory. Amen. My dad, several years ago, back when he was in his early 20s, was lost. He was a backslid preacher's son. His daddy was a holiness preacher. And he was hanging some steel in Brundage, Alabama, at a peanut plant. He was actually riding a steel beam, had his legs wrapped around the beam, and they had a cable tied to it where it balanced. And there was a large wall that separated the crane operator from where they were trying to set that beam. They had three-phase electricity going into the peanut plant and didn't want to cut it off and stop production while they were building. So they had been ever so careful with that crane around those live electrical lines. They'd already set several beams, and Dad was riding this one. And the crane there was a man standing on top of that wall. And he would give directions to the man in the crane. Well, they was trying to set this particular beam. And when it would boom down and begin to come back in, Dad would holler out, we're too close. Hey, man, he'd tell the man on the wall, he'd holler down to the crane operator. They'd boom it up and they'd try it again. I think several times they tried to set this particular beam. Finally, they thought they had, and it began to go on down into place. And Dad saw it wasn't going to clear. And he started to cry out a man's name. I believe his name was Louie. And he tried to cry out, Louie! And as he did, that electricity drew that steel beam. Amen. I forget now how many thousand volts of electricity, amen, ran through his body. Amen. He fell off of that beam until he died. There was deep scars on the back of his legs where they'd been up around that beam. He fell off and fell several feet down on a pile of steel. And they began to gather around him. But this was his testimony. Amen. He said, I begin spinning in outer darkness. He said, as I was spinning, amen, the darkness was so great you could feel it. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I saw preachers begin to come before me. He said, that I hadn't thought about in years. He said, I seen preachers and I seen myself laying on pallets underneath the pew, 5, 6, 7 years old. And he said, I'd lay there and hear them preach again. He said, it was like they were just lit up on a wall and I'd feel conviction. Said, they'd roll by and another one would come. He'd see himself maybe sitting in the back of the church, young folks. Amen, sitting there playing and talking. He'd look up and see that old preacher man. Many of them dead and gone on. Preaching. He'd feel
feel like going to pray, but he'd turn and go the other way. He said preacher after preacher went by him. Hey man, what are you doing? He's headed to a place of remembrance. You know what will happen in hell? You'll hear my message. Hey man, you say, I ain't going to buy a CD. I ain't going to spend $2.50. I'm never going to hear this again. But I'll tell you, if you die lost, hey man, you'll hear it and hear it. And a million years from now, you'll see a little short preacher screaming in a microphone, saying, remember, 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 you don't have to die lost. You don't have to go to hell.
Amen. He said as he turned and he spun, he started crying out, oh, I'm going to hell. No, I'm going to hell. No, I'm going to hell. His mother, amen, and dad, his dad, J.W. Gentry, holiness preacher, pioneered several churches in our area. His mama, a holiness woman, amen, come into the room. They were at their home. They didn't know anything was going on. She come into the room. She got to making homemade biscuits. And as she was making them biscuits, conviction fell on her for her boy. Amen. Willie Ray was my dad's name for Willie. Amen. She started crying and weeping so much until they had to throw the biscuit dough out. Amen. For the tears that had ran in it. Amen. She told her husband, said, John, we got to get a hold of God. Willie Ray's in trouble right now. They didn't know he was spinning in eternity. They didn't know he was screaming, I'm a going to hell. And all of a sudden, amen, he said he came to himself, laying on that pile of steel. He could hear people talking around him. Don't touch him. He may still have electricity in his body. Hey, don't touch him. Be careful with him. Amen. That's right. Amen. You know what my dad said? My mom and dad prayed me out of hell. How many times, amen, has that car that should have hit you head on, but because there was a mama and a grandma on their face before God, amen, God let it go a few inches the other way. God spared your heart, your soul. God spared your life. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day you're going to face God. Amen. And you're going to remember.
Amen.
Amen. Heaven is a place where there is a river of life. But hell is a place where there is no water. Amen. Hell is a place where there's no water. Amen. Hear that rich man as he cried out, let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water. Amen. Not a whole cup. Amen. Not a gallon. Not a teaspoonful. But let him just dip his finger. Amen. In water. Amen. And just lay it. Amen. On my tongue. Amen. For I am tormented in this flame. I want to tell you, there's no water in hell. There's no escape when you get to hell. There's no way to get out. The only way to get out is don't go. The only way out is to pray while you're alive and ask God to forgive you and save you. Hey, save your soul. Forgive me, God. Amen. I've got to be saved. I've got to know God. I've got to get this out of my soul.
In hell, there will be remembrance. Amen. I read about a man over in the Chronicles by the name of Manasseh. And his name meant forgetfulness. He was raised by Hezekiah's father. No doubt Hezekiah was the man who had 15 years added to his life. Because he prayed and said, Lord, I've walked before you perfect. And God acknowledged that and added 15 years to his life. And so he had a godly example. He did not have a hypocrite. Oh, come on, help me now. Amen. But he had a godly example.
that lived before him, that walked perfect before God, that tried to please God. Amen. But yet when Hezekiah died, amen, and his son Manasseh, forgetful is his name, took the throne, you know what he did? He forgot. And he built the places back that his father had destroyed. He took the things back on that his father had laid down. He went back to the world. He started living a sinful life. Amen. And one day after he was, amen, apprehended by the enemy and beat with thorns and thrown in a cell, amen, the Bible said that he called on the Lord. You know what he did? He remembered. I tell you, if you can remember now, if you can remember God loves you, if you can remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on an old rugged cross for your sins, if you can remember, amen, you can be saved. Amen. But if you can't remember now, you will remember in eternity. We cannot make you remember now. Amen. Sometimes when you get around people that was raised in church, you can try to make them remember. Remember that service. Remember that night Brother Neil preached, and you come down the aisle and you knelt down and you just cried with tears, and how you testified and how you done. You remember. Hey, maybe sometimes they'll change the subject. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about fishing or hunting. Let's talk about something else. Let's don't talk about that. I don't want to remember. I'm clearing my mind. Turn up the music. Amen. Turn up the music. Drown it out. Give me a baby. Amen. Don't let me listen to that preacher. Show me pictures. Do something. But I don't want to remember that camp meeting. I don't want to remember that revival. I don't want to remember how I shouted. I don't want to remember how I wept. I don't want to remember how I run the aisles and how I testified. But I tell you, we cannot make you remember. We cannot make you pray. But I promise you, if you don't remember it now, in eternity, forever and ever, you will remember. Son, remember. Amen. Remember. He remembered some things. For he said, I've got five brethren. You may not have a burden for your family now. But I tell you, if you die lost when you get to hell, you'll have a burden for your family. Amen. I've got five brethren back there. Would you send Lazarus and let him go down and preach to them that they might not come to this place? You know what the Lord told him? He said, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, if they will not believe Brother David Young, if they will not believe Brother Joey Dean, if they will not hear, amen, Brother Tony Walker, if they will not believe the preachers of their hour that preach to them with a burden, amen, that visit them and talk to them when they're sick, that are continually trying to remind them that they're fixing to face eternity after a while, amen, trying to make them remember, neither will they believe, be persuaded, though one be risen, rose from the dead. That's hard to fathom. But to think about somebody opening those doors and walking in tonight from the regions of hell. Amen. Think about them walking in. Amen. Men that's gone on and preached. Amen. Coming in. Surely we'd run to the altar. Surely we'd pray then. But if you won't pray and remember when God's dealing with your heart, no tragic event, no supernatural happening is going to bring it to pass. You say, Brother Steve, surely if they told me I had cancer, I'd pray. Well, I could tell you story after story. Amen. One on my mind right now of a young woman that was raised holiness. had some of the longest hair, Brother Terry. I mean, raised right. Her and her husband got out of church and started going to a worldly church, and she cut all that hair off. And wholeness, you know, that was gone with, and that wasn't necessary. One day, the doctor told her she had cancer. And the next Sunday, they was at the Holiness Church. They was on the altar repenting and asking God to save them. They were testifying about how much they thank God for saving them. And a few weeks later, when the doctor said, it's not cancer, they didn't come back. Now, I'll tell you how I feel about it. They might have tricked me. And if they'd have died, I might have even got up and said, boy, they prayed and it looks real good for them. But I tell you, they did not fool God. Those planes flew into the Twin Towers. Our attendance jumped where I was pastoring probably 10 or 15% for about a month. Amen. That car wreck comes and it almost takes you out. And you come and you pray one time. But the thing is, if you don't want to repent, if you don't want to get out of the sin business, if you're not sorry for your sin, tragedy is not going to make you pray through. It may make you cry. It may stir you up. It may make you feel the need to pray. But I'll tell you what will really, amen, make a difference. It's when you realize, hey, I'm going to hell. I've got to get this fixed now. I've got to do my remembering now. I'm fixing to give you a chance to pray. My heart's heavy tonight. Some soul in this building may not want to remember, but I promise you, you're going to remember. I read a story some time ago about a man that had been kind of like a town, a bum, a drifter. He was known all over town as just a man, you know, was a little crazy. They'd see him walking up and down the roads, his clothes not clean, unshaven, addicted to the bottle. They'd see him all over town picking up garbage and trash and cans. One day, he was an old man now, and he was nearing death. He was weaker and sick. One day, there was an old one-lane bridge that went over a river. And the old bum was walking, and he walked out on the middle of that river, over that bridge, and he was just standing there in the middle of the road, looking out over the river. Traffic was trying to come by. They were blowing their horns. Different one was walking up, telling him they needed to move. And he just kept telling them, hush, hush. He said, oh, that's that old crazy man out there. Somebody else had come up. Now, you need to move on over and get off the bridge. Hush. Finally, they called the police. The officer knew of him, and he came up to him, maybe even in the story, called his name. Told him, said, come on now, let's get off the bridge. And he told the officer, he said, hush, hush. He said, come on now, we got to move on. You're blocking traffic. Don't make me take you to jail. Come on. He said, hush, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember. And he said, come on, hush, I'm trying to remember. And finally the officer said, what would an old bum like you have to remember? He said, I remember when I was a little boy, my mama told me about a man that if I would call on his name, he would save me from my sin. And I'm trying to remember that name. Amen. Amen. Can you remember that name that you used to say and tears would run down your eyes? Can you remember? For if you don't remember it tonight, you will remember in eternity. Would you stand to your feet? Church, I need you to pray. As they come to the pen, I need you to pray. Amen. I need you to pray right now. Precious God of heaven, I've done my best to preach, Lord, what you laid on my heart tonight. And God, the sinner, the backslider, that one that's here. God, at one time knew you. And they're here tonight to see friends and families, different ones. Oh, let them remember right now. Let them remember as they get ready to sing. Is there one right now? Are you here and you're not saved? Hey, man, I want to ask you, would you step out and come tonight? Hey, man, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus, Brother Steve. I'm lost. I'm undone. While you've been a-preaching, I've been a-remembering the time that I made some promises to God that I live a holy, separated life. I remember some promises I made to Him. But Brother Steve, I backed away and I'm lost tonight. My life's in a wreck and in trouble. And I know if I died tonight, amen, I'd go to hell. Is there one right now? Amen, would you come? Oh, would you come right now, sinner friend? Church, are you helping me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Help me pray. Is there one right now? You just slip up that hand and say, Brother Steve, I'm lost. I'm undone. Would you pray for me? Would you remember me? Oh, I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go to hell. Amen. There's some young folks coming. Is there somebody else? I'm not where I need to be, Brother Gentry. I'm near eternity. I'm near eternity and I'm lost and I'm undone. Oh, can you remember the compassion? Can you remember the love? Can you remember that sermon? Can you remember that service? Would you come right now? At least for all eternity. You remember. Hey man, what about it? Would you come? Would you come, sinner? Would you come? Oh, would you come? Would you join these in the altar? I need to be saved, Brother Steve. I'm lost and I'm undone. This is your last opportunity in this camp meeting to come and give your heart to Jesus. Hey man, what about it? Is there someone else right now? I feel like the Lord's dealing with some hearts right now. Church, are you helping me? I feel like Jesus is pulling at a soul. Hey man, you know you're not where you need to be. You know you've been involved in things you don't need to be involved in. Hey man, why don't you step out right now and come to this altar and say, I don't want to leave this building lost. I don't want to take a chance on going to hell. Hey man, but I want to give my soul to Jesus. Oh, bless this one that's coming. Is there another? I don't want to go down that wrong road. I don't want to go down that wrong road. Oh, what about it? Maybe there's some here and you'd say, Brother Steve, I feel like I'm saved. I've prayed, but the devil's been battling me. And I've been failing, and I need God to help me tonight to be faithful and make this journey. Amen. The altar's open for you. Amen. I need help tonight. I got some issues. I got some problems. I got some things I need God to get me past. Amen. I got to get help tonight. Is there somebody? Will you come? Amen. Will you come? Oh, what about it? Amen. Church, let's begin to come on in. Amen. Gather in around this young lady. Amen. These young boys. Amen. What about it? Are you where you need to be with Jesus? Would you like to be saved tonight? Will you come?